Good morning. How's everybody? Are you warm? Not warm-hearted, Scott. Are you warm? I want to read just a short insert from a devotional I read this morning. It's kind of this gentleman has written a book that's got these different prayers that he has written. Oh God, I give thanks for this, thy greatest gift. Now listen to the things he's thankful for. For my Lord's days upon the earth, for the record of his deeds of love, for the words he spoke for my guidance and help, for his obedience unto death, for his triumph over death, for the presence of his spirit with me now. I thank thee, O God. Isn't that good? Are we thankful this morning?
Amen.
I want to ask you to pray with me. I want to greet our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are joining us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are humbled and we are grateful for Jesus, that you loved us enough to become flesh and dwell among us, to save us from our sin, to give us eternal life, to send your Holy Spirit to be with us, to walk with us. We pray that you would send your Spirit to be in this place, in this time, in every home that's worshiping with us. We ask you to come, glorify yourself. May our hearts please you. May our worship please you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'll rise as we worship, if you are able.
Good morning. I invite you to sing out loud as we lift our voices, one, to praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'm standing on the promises.
lost this morning. All right, you may be seated. Children, this morning you are going to be dismissed to your children's church.
Good morning, church. Good to see you. For you worshiping online, again, welcome this morning. If you'd like to register your attendance through our app, that would be helpful. Several things in the bulletin coming up. We have a men's breakfast on the 19th of this month. Lynn Lohan will be our speaker for that day. Men's summit on the 25th and 26th. Men, there's an opportunity to sign up. You can see the insert. Also, women, feel free to sign up your husbands. You want to do that? That worked well for our Promise Keepers trip last year, so we just feel the freedom to do that. Ash Wednesday on the 2nd of March, and we are planning on a ladies' encounter night sometime this spring. So, ladies, we don't want you to feel left out, so look for that coming in the future. Again, welcome you, and God bless you as we worship Him this morning. I read an article about 4 or 5 weeks ago about the mental health state of our nation. And a lot of people are struggling. We're a heavily medicated nation, and I'm not being condemning as I say that. I know that's necessary. A couple of groups of people seem to be struggling more than others, and that is the millennial generation and the Gen Z generation. And the millennial generation is people who were born from 1980 to 1995, and then the Gen Z generations is 96 and forward. And those two generations struggled heavily with anxiety, depression, hopelessness. 45% of millennials struggle with that, and 55% of Gen Zs struggle with that. And, you know, just to be honest, that breaks my heart. It really does. It's not that my generation doesn't struggle, but, man, there's just something there about these two segments of our society are really struggling. So this morning, I would like our prayer focus to be for the millennial generation and the Gen Z generation. I'd like for us to do that. I did this in the early service. Didn't get a lot of participation, but that's okay. if you feel comfortable, I want to just invite you as a member of either one of those generations to stand representing that generation, and we would just like to pray for you and your contemporaries. Amen. Man, God loves you guys. He loves your generation. Jesus hung on a cross, and the enemy is robbing what I believe God wants your generation to experience. Okay, now, if you feel comfortable, that's fine if you don't. If you feel comfortable and wouldn't mind having somebody come and lay hands on you, just lift your hand if you feel comfortable. We want to respect your space, but at the same time, we just... Okay. If someone has their hand raised, just place a hand on them as we pray. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for your love for us. And Jesus, when you hung on a cross, you had these two generations in our time on your mind. And it's your desire, it's your heart that they experience life and life abundantly, and they're being robbed of that. Lord, I see that in my own circle. There's people really close to me. I see the struggle, and it's real. But Lord, I just pray, God, for something supernatural to happen in these two generations. Lord, I just pray, and instead of a spirit of despair, I pray for a spirit of hope to rise up in that generation, these two generations, Lord. God, I know it's almost like the news media is against us, just hammering us with how bad things are. And Lord, I get it. I just see somebody that may be younger that, gosh, what does the future even look like? Is it really going to be as bad as they say it's going to be? Father, I just speak against the lying spirit that's behind our media, news media. It's almost like they're trying to destroy our nation. Father, I pray, God, that our media, Lord, just has some kind of supernatural change there. And Father, for these two generations, I just pray that the Holy Spirit just blow through them. Lord, they're our future leaders, the future leaders of this country. Future leader at work sites. And so Lord, I just pray for incredibly good mental health for them. Lord, I pray for the teachers in the room, Lord, the businessmen in the room, essential workers in the room, Lord, I just pray, God, for just a sense of purpose. Lord, give them a strong desire to get out of bed every morning and seek to honor and glorify you with what they do. Father, I speak life over these two generations, Lord. Not death, I speak life. And I speak hope over these generations, not despair, not discouragement, not anxiety. I speak hope over these generations. Lord, just bless them. I pray for an incredible harvest of souls to come out of these two generations, Lord. Use them for your glory. And Father, those that are doing well, God, I just pray that you give them the grace and the power and the boldness, Lord, to speak into lives of maybe some of their peers that are struggling. Lord, just do a mighty work, Father. And Jesus, we thank you for hanging on a cross for every one of us. Oh, Lord, you're so, so good, so, so kind, so, so gracious. And I pray you bless these two generations. Oh, Lord, we love you as we continue to worship you. Father, I pray that we're freed up to do that unhindered this morning. Father, I know you want to connect with us. Lord, just allow us to connect with you. Heighten our awareness of who you are in this room. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll go ahead and receive our offering at this time.
Well, I count on one thing. Same God who never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high. The lowest valley, yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will count worthy. Sing God who never fails, will not fail.
shadow of death. Your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, and I will fear no
Well, let me ask you, is the Holy Spirit welcome here? He's welcome here? Is he welcome here? Man, I don't know what we would do without the Holy Spirit, huh? If you are our guest this morning, we hope you feel the Holy Spirit. We hope you feel the love of God's people in this place. We like new people. We like you being here. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe on it that says guest. Would love for you to fill that out, and I will be at this end of the foyer down here at the end of the service. We'd love to meet you, have a free gift for our guests. You certainly don't have to do any of that, but I would love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. I will set this up a little bit. I normally preach out of a smaller Bible. It's kind of my preaching Bible. This is my study Bible, which has study notes, and I tend to have more highlights and markings in this Bible. And I'll explain why that's significant for this particular passage here in just a little bit. But Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give you and give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We ask you to come now and speak to us. Share your heart with us. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason this was important, I got to go back to 2002, the summer of 2002, July, as a matter of fact, of 2002, and I was actually, in those days, first of all, I was younger. Imagine that, I was younger, and I was the youth pastor here for about a year and a half. How many of you did not know I used to be the youth pastor here? Oh, really? Wow. July 2002, and I took the youth on a backpacking trip up in Colorado, and we were making our way back out of the mountains and back home, and I wrote this in the margin. By the way, did you know that it's okay to write in your Bible? I mean, it's not even just okay. I encourage it. Highlight. Write. Write notes. When the Lord speaks to you about a passage, write it down. Write the date so you remember. I did that in this particular passage, and here's what I wrote. God brought this word to me at least four times in July 2002. 1.5 months later, I was a pastor of Wiley United Methodist Church. And that is probably more significant to me than it even is to you. But I wrote that note a long time ago. You know, I'm going to come back to that. We're going to conclude the sermon series today, standing on the promises. You know, God has given us promises. Did you know that if ever there's a time in our world we need promises from God, it's now? And I haven't even scratched the surface on the promises that God has given us, but today is standing on the promises. Today's message is, you are not alone. God will never leave you. God will never leave you. Back to my story. I've shared the last several weeks. By the way, I want to, since Larry, you're here in the late service, I want to thank you for covering for me. I had COVID. I'm Tuesday, I'll be 3 weeks out, and if I'm coughing, I'm okay, I promise. Just still kind of got this lingering cough, but I'm well, and Billy, thank you for preaching the good word last week, Billy and Larry. It's nice to have some godly men that can fill the pulpit and do such a wonderful job, and I appreciate you guys very much. But 2 weeks ago, I got COVID, and Cheryl's been sick, and Cheryl's doing really well, and she's here, and we're thankful for that, and I'm well. My mom is doing better. She said, I tied her to her recliner this morning, told her next week. So I really didn't tie her to the recliner, in case y'all were wondering. So July 2002, so we're making our way out of the mountains, and this that passage, I just started hearing. I opened up the Word and I read it that morning as we're leaving the mountains, and I come down and I turn on the radio as when we got back to the vans and we're headed home. I turn on the radio and I run across some sort of a Christian program with a devotion, and guess what? Joshua 1. And then many of you know Tim Crane, who was a youth pastor before me. Tim and I were friends, and Tim had taken a job at Cal Farley's Boys Ranch up in the Panhandle, and many of the youth knew Tim, and so we, on our way home, we stopped at Cal Farley's, and we went to church there, and guess what the preacher was preaching on? Joshua 1. And then we coming on home, and I turned on the radio again and ran across it again. I mean, it was just, man, God, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm listening. And as I said, a month and a half later, I had the opportunity to become the interim pastor. Now, I don't know, just I think it's important for you to kind of know the backstory of that. So I didn't ever really feel like I was called long-term into youth ministry, I knew that I was supposed to be here for such a time as that, and the Lord has kind of shown that, but I knew that the youth ministry was a temporary thing, and when they offered me to be the pastor here, we'd just gone through a church split. If you want to know all about that, I can tell you all about that, they said, we want you to be the interim pastor, and I had people, not in this church, but I had people outside the church that were kind of speaking into my life, and they were like, don't do it. Don't do it. They're going to spit you up. They're going to use you, spit you up, chew you up, spit you out, and it's you're just going to be used. And Cheryl and I went to the Lord in prayer, and we knew we were supposed to stay. And I told this particular person, I said, if that's what happens, that's what happens. The Lord says stay. And guess what? It's 20 years later. So the Lord had something up his sleeve. And I will say this also, not only did this church not chew me up and spit me out, but that you guys have been a rich blessing to the Hatcher family from day one. And God began to, to bless us. I just believe with all my heart when we listen to Him and when we're faithful to Him, He will bless us. And people started joining and getting baptized and all, and we started getting healthy. And I don't know if some of y'all that were here remember my first sermon, but besides Gary, I realized they were pretty bad back in the early days, even worse than now, right? But I remember saying, because the Lord laid this on my heart, and I thought, man, these people are either going to embrace this or they're going to kick me out on the street. But I remember saying that first week, if you're hurt, if you are, even if you're angry, let's come, let's talk, let's pray through it, let's work our way through it. But if you're bitter and you want to just be bitter, I don't want to talk to you. Don't come see me with that. Because God has stuff for us to do. He has kingdom stuff for us to do. And immediately, the church responded to that and did not let bitterness set in. And I believe the Lord began to bless us because of that. We stand on His promises. So let's talk about this passage. Let's unpack it just a little bit and see what God is promising here. Now, you may say, well, that was for Joshua. Well, I believe it's for us. I believe it's not only just for Joshua, but we have been grafted in to God's chosen people. I believe this is still relevant and pertinent to us today. The first thing, God promises to be with us through anything. He promises to be with us through anything. This passage, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. And Billy talked about it in his prayer time this morning, how depression and discouragement and mental health issues, how prevalent it is in our culture, especially with those two generations. But I believe it's with all of us can struggle with that. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid, God says. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. No matter what we face, no matter what the world throws at us, the Lord will be with us. And I love that we talked about earlier about the Holy Spirit, that through His Holy Spirit, Jesus said it this way, I tell you the truth. Now, truth, when He says, I tell you the truth, and I've said this before, but it's like He's saying there's something that contradicts truth. I mean, there's truth, and then there's the opposite of truth, which is a lie, which is from the enemy. But I tell you the truth, Jesus said, it is for your good that I am going away. Now think about it. Jesus had, the disciples had already seen Jesus go to the cross. They'd seen His dead, lifeless body come off the cross, and then they rejoiced 3 days later because He had risen. And now He's telling them, I'm leaving again. Only this time, in bodily form, I'm not coming back for a while. So you can imagine how they were feeling. But He's saying, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. So there it is. Not only will He guide us into truth, but He is truth. Jesus also said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So, I don't know, church, but I don't know about you, but I need me some truth and power. Anybody else? Well, guess what? I know the source. The Holy Spirit is our source for this and so many more things. So secondly, God promises us inheritance. Inheritance. Now, it's kind of, I don't want anybody thinking that I somehow see myself as a Joshua or a Moses. That's not what I got out of that passage. But what I got was the promises that He gave them, He gives to us. He gives us inheritance. I will give you, God says, every place where you set your foot, No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And what I heard from that in 2002, 20 years ago, what I heard from that was God said, I'm going to be with you. You're going to lead this church, and you're going to do some wonderful things. And I could make a list of the wonderful things that have come out of this body of believers right here. People that have been blessed because of you. Don't know if you've gotten it yet. I think you did get it this past week. The letter I got just a couple, two or three weeks ago from a man named Dan. Anybody see it? Somebody saw the letter from Dan, I hope. It was in my letter. Read your email. Read your email. This is significant. He wrote me an email, and he said, hey, this is Dan. I just wanted you to know, you guys helped me about a year ago. Dan was coming out of alcoholism. We didn't know Dan. He had no connection to our church. He started kind of showing up through emails and phone calls. I felt compelled to listen to his story, and you guys felt compelled to help him. Dan was homeless, coming out of alcoholism. His wife had died from alcoholism just a few months earlier. He was sleeping on a friend's couch when he had a place to stay. He had no job, he had no car, he had no money, he had no food, he had nothing. Because of your goodness, within a few days, I had three of you offer and or give him a car. Here, he can have this car. We got him a job, good job. We got him an apartment. Many of you donated furniture and food and money. Many of you helped move the furniture into his house. And Dan wrote me this letter a year later, and he said, I just want you to know, that you gave me a second chance at life. Not me, you and Wiley Methodist. And he said, I'm thankful to the Lord for you guys. He said, my days are not perfect, but I'm doing good. I will give you every place where you set your foot. No one will be able to stand against you. Be strong and courageous. You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. He's given us an inheritance, kingdom inheritance. He promises that. And thirdly, God promises to bless us. And there's a word here, if. We don't like that word, do we? He promises to bless us if we carefully follow His word. Now, so let me read the scripture, and then I want to talk about that a second. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. It's almost like he's talking about God's word. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now listen to this. There's a big old word, then. So if we do all of that, then you will be prosperous and successful. Cheryl and I were just talking about it this week, and she didn't know what I was preaching on today as we were talking about it, but here's what I see play out. Well, I've seen it play out in my own life. I've seen it play out in our culture with other people's lives. Sin produces brokenness and chaos. When we surrender to sin in our lives, I mean, you just put whatever you want to in the sin. I tell people this sometimes with when I'm talking to marriages. It's like, and there's another man or another woman involved, and I'm like, I promise you, I promise you that's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. Don't do it. Go home, love your wife. Go home, love your husband. Sin produces brokenness and chaos. It just does. But when we surrender to God's word, it produces peace and order. It doesn't mean God's not saying, hey, follow me and life's going to be a piece of cake. But I promise you, people who are following him and following his word, life is a lot better. It's just a lot better. And when we face those trials in our life, when we cling to the old rugged cross, I'm going to write a song about that someday. Man, cling to the old rugged cross. Be careful to do everything written in this book of the law. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And I see this in our culture. We've embraced sin and brokenness in our culture, and it just messes up everything. We don't even know who's supposed to be competing against somebody else in a track meet or a swim meet. I was reading some stuff about the Olympics that's going on right now, and it's like, you know, we got the first gender defined person, we got the first one that's doing this, and the first one's doing that, and all this stuff. And we don't even know how to keep up with it. I mean, sin is just the fingers of the brokenness and the woundedness of sin. It just starts traveling through everything. And we're just like, I don't know how to deal with this anymore. I don't know who's supposed to swim in this meet. I don't know who's supposed to be married. I don't know, you know. Sin produces chaos and brokenness. And the world doesn't get it. But we, as God's people, should get it. And I'm with Billy. He talked about how it breaks his heart to see what's going on with our young people. And it breaks my heart to see what's going on with all the people, just the brokenness. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door and let me in, I'm gonna dine with you. I'm going to have a relationship with you. If we keep that door shut or we reject him, I really believe the Lord sometimes, and I think he's doing this with our nation, I really do, I think sometimes the Lord just goes, okay, you don't want me? You don't want In God We Trust anymore as your motto? You don't want to live by that anymore? Okay, let's see how that works out for you. I really believe that's where we are as a culture and as a nation. But Jesus is offering so much more. If you love me, Jesus says. Now this is important. We like the love part. If you love me, Jesus says, you will obey what I command. That's when we try to walk out our lives in holiness, that is testament that we love Jesus. And besides it being good for us, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. You know the Spirit of truth, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He wants to be intimate in our lives. He knows what sin produces. Sin nailed him to a cross. That's how damaging sin is. It cost our Savior his life. He laid it down for us. We're going to have an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper today. I want to do something a little different. If you would, I want to to invite you to close your eyes. I promise I'm no one is going to sneak up behind you and put bunny ears on you or anything like that. Just close your eyes and just try to relax. I just want to walk you through a little scene. Just try to let the Lord kind of take you to this place. So you're one of the 12. You're one of the 12, and Jesus has been, he's been telling us what was going to happen when we came into Jerusalem. He's been telling us that he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to be beaten and whipped, and he's going to die. And he's just, we're sitting here preparing to partake of this Passover meal that's been observed for centuries. And Jesus is, he's just come around and he's washed my feet. Why would he do that? Because I'm either the one that betrayed him, denied him, or deserted him. And he knows it. And I know it. And yet he washed my feet. And then he takes this piece of bread and he blesses it, he breaks it, and he says, "Friends, this is my body broken for you." And even as Jesus is saying it, he knows what his broken body is going to look like the next morning. He knows the pain that he will experience. And then he takes the cup and he blesses that and he says, "This is now the blood, my blood, the new covenant. And I lay down my body and I shed my blood for you because I love you." Yeah, I know what you're going to do, but I still love you. So, Lord, we pray that you would make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us, that we would see it in a new and dramatic and fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite, as the children are entering back in, finding their parents, I invite our servers to come forward to receive. So let me give you the invitation and some explanation as to what we're going to do. We have the cup and the bread is all in one little unit there for you. The invitation is you do not have to be a member of our church to partake of communion. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sin, you're welcome to come and receive. If you do not wish to receive this morning, that's okay as well. Feel free to choose that way as well. But as you come to one of these four stations, you'll be given the bread and the juice, and there's a in the center in the back, and at both ends, there's little trash cans that you can go ahead and make your way away from the line towards the trash can as you partake, and then you can discharge your empty there so that the line can kind of keep moving. open the bread first. It works better that way and partake in that manner. So Christ has invited us to this table, and all he asks of us is to remember him, to remember what this meal is about. The invitation is from him. Come.
Had
out at this end of the foyer. We'd love to meet our guests, have a free gift for you. Hear these words. Be strong and courageous, church. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's good news, church. Let's go and share it. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.